So just going to have a bit of time now after that one-to-one to see if anybody has anything they'd like to say in the bigger group about that. Anybody feel very strongly that one particular aspect was the most important? I'd like to say something about that.
Well, we talked about shifting attitude. We both thought that that was...
Shifting consciousness.
Shifting consciousness. Mm. Tool. Well, we also talked about awareness, you know, that in order to see the wallpaper, you know, you've got to have a kind of way into the wallpaper.
Yeah.
So the development of awareness in some ways is... Yeah, it's not only beneficial in personal terms, but it's beneficial in societal terms.
Yeah.
Because it can lead to a reflection upon one's value system and one's relationship to that society.
So mindfulness, clear and radiant.
Yeah.
Very important precept in terms of allowing that shift.
I also thought community was important as then that as well, and that there has to be a place where new kind of ideas come in, and also that there's a place to share that, communicate over that, sort of digest that, not only sort of up here, but you know, in terms of, well, down here as well, in terms of experience, and that certainly my own life.
So community, part of the alternatives, provides a context for that shift in consciousness, doesn't it? Through people coming together and communicating directly or through media, that can happen.
I thought those two aspects.
Somebody, a friend of mine, activist, gave this example where she said, what about if you had, you're standing by a river and you realise that there's all these babies are being thrown in the river and they're going to drown unless somebody gets them out. And what's most important there? Shifting consciousness. Might take a little rate, but and she pointed out that, you know, not only would you, of course, spend your time, you wouldn't say, I'm going to go upriver and see, you know, who's putting these babies in the river. Well, you need to do that. You wouldn't just carry on, you know, but you would act, wouldn't you? You would try and get the babies out of the river, but then if they kept on coming, then you would also want to do the other thing of going upriver and seeing how they were getting in there in the first place. So both would be important. Anybody have another view about what's most important?
We questioned whether actually any one of them ranked higher than the other. It would depend on circumstance and situation. So in that case, you know, awareness, you have to act. You don't have time to weigh up the situation necessarily. I think we were saying that was the thing, and that actually having your question made us think through things rather than actually going, we must answer that question, is to actually, the important thing was a discussion.
So actually, what Joanna Macy says about this is that they're all part of a whole and they're all important. And what you often find is that people spend a lot of energy arguing for their particular bit. You know, we must take this action and or the really important thing is to change the ideas, or, you know, the really important thing is to be the change that you want to see. That's the real thing, to actually try and exemplify it. Mm-hmm. Rather than seeing that there's all these different aspects. And different people might kind of have a leaning towards one rather than the other. They might really enjoy one rather than the other. Their energy is there more for the one. And personally, I've always really supported direct action, but when I've done it, I haven't enjoyed it at all. I have not got a sort of excitement or adrenaline buzz in the way that, you know, some people find it exciting and enlivening, and that was not my experience. So, it's all part of a picture. So I thought it could be interesting to reflect a little bit about how those different aspects, the different ways those different aspects relate. So I've got some ideas, but how does a shift in consciousness affect, how does that connect with holding actions, for example? How do they relate? What are some of the ways that those relate or support each other?
Well, I suppose if you're kind of, if you've worked on changing your consciousness, you're kind of clear about what your values are, what really matters to you, and also you know what's driving certain kind of volitions in you, whether that's a positive or a kind of negative, you know, kind of, so when something happens that you want to respond to, then the energy can flow much more clearly, and clearly is much more likely to be based on your values and much more on positive mental states rather than negative. It's much more likely to hold back on acting out of negative mental states.
Yeah.
I was thinking with your babies in the river analogy. perhaps you'd have a space and not panic. Mm. And you think, well, what's the best way to get the most babies out the river quickest?
Yeah.
How to do that best, because there's space not to kind of react or panic. And I think we live in a society where there's a lot of horrified anxiety, which is partially generated by the way we hear about and the way sort of the world's problems are kind of presented to us.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to fall into the place of anxiety about big difficulties, and just quickly become, with that goes a sense of powerlessness, I think, probably. Mm-hmm. And I think awareness, it allows you to do things like change the things that you know that you can change, and to accept the things that you know that you can't.
Yeah.
I wonder with the babies in the river as well, if you're faced with a circumstance you never imagined yourself to be in, and then you suddenly have to make a decision, then you'll do something that you never expected to do, for the better or worse, but you end up learning something about your own potentialities, which of course changes your consciousness.
Yeah.
Because you're not who you thought you were.
Yes. Yeah. That's a really important point, I think, I was wanting to draw out, actually, is that there's kind of two-way relationship between, you know, our values and actions. So, you know, our values provide that shift in consciousness. What our values are provides motivation for the action. But then acting in a certain way feeds back into what we value, and, you know, being clear about what's important. And so there you've got a relationship between alternatives, well, both holding actions and alternatives, and shifting consciousness. So if you Yeah, if you practice, for example, if you live, if you work in a way that is cooperative, and you're being encouraged to really take others on into account on a daily basis, you know, that's going to have an effect on your perceptions and your values. Yeah, so it's a two-way thing there. Any other thoughts about how these aspects?
I really like the model because I think that in my own experience that I would go into overwhelm when I have awareness and not feeling a bit like you. I'm a bit scared of direct action. I suppose what I've done is supported people who are more comfortable with that.
Yeah.
And also I was thinking that this model could probably be used more subjectively, looking at my own patterns in that way. And it would give a creative response to it. So I quite like that. Because I feel like the more awareness and the more I wake up, the more overwhelmed I can feel. And it's been important to find some actions that I can do, either in either of those two, you know, the holding or the creative responses. And so it gives me a really good language to have it.
I think, though, an important part of the shifting consciousness is that you're able to see more without getting overwhelmed. I mean, that's the journey with insight, insight aspect of Buddhism, certainly, that the more there's a real seeing of how things are, the more there's a strong heart response, but without the overwhelm. Because there's a bigger perspective and a knowing that we just do what we can, and that everything that arises is arising out of so many conditions. And there's a limit to what we can do, and then knowing that, you're kind of more freed up to do what you can. So that's the thing, got to be part of what, you know, why the Bodhisattva can have boundless energy and be quite joyful with it, even in the face of suffering, because they've got that bigger view.
That was certainly in the image, going back to the babies, such a powerful image. Yeah. But one of the things that it was that tendency to think that one has to do everything. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, I have to save the babies, when in fact, you know, and as well as find out where who's sending them down the river, and where the river's going, is, but actually we are a community.
Yes.
And that's really something that we've been experiencing of late.
Yeah.
The power of community, really, that we are, we don't have, can begin to, I can begin to drop that.
Yes.
But I have to do it all on my own.
Yeah.
And actually even things like, just like this, sort of engaging in dialogue, starts to create and loosen that, builds a collective energy or responsiveness.
Yeah. I mean,
it's got to be the clue.
Yes. I was very struck by something that Zen Master Thich Nhat Hanh said about engaging in the world. He said that because everything is connected, if you do one thing, if you just choose one thing that which you feel really moved by, and you just really put all your energy into that wholeheartedly, that's fine, because everything's connected. So you do one thing, it will affect everything else. So I was very, very struck by that. There's a kind of relief in hearing that. I mean, it's very, very hard to really, really take it on. But, yeah. Yeah.
I think in the development of awareness there is a kind of expansive movement. I was trying to think about, sometimes, I don't know, sometimes with horrified anxiety it can feel debilitating. That's one of the best ways perhaps to deal with horrified anxiety, at least initially I think, is to really find out what's going on and become aware, to be more fully aware of it. I had this a bit with climate change at one point. A friend of mine said he'd gone through a process where he'd hit that kind of horrified anxiety. And so he just decided to find out as much as he could about it. And as a result of that, he felt a certain kind of empowerment.
Mm.
And then, of course, perhaps the step on from that is to decide to act, and that somehow in the acting, you are expanding.
Yes.
I remember the analogy, if you know, out of Kateshwar, when the Bodhisattva of compassion, who sometimes appears with one head and four arms, or in two arms, and then sometimes appears with 11 heads and 1,000 arms. And the story goes that the reason why he ended up with 1,000 arms and 11 heads was because he was suffering from, or we were crying for the suffering of the world. And it's kind of, the suffering was so kind of much in a way. The only way he could kind of contain it was to, this is how I see the story, the only way he could contain it was to kind of expand out. And there's often an idea that, you know, that it's going to kind of overwhelm us. But it feels like it's going to overwhelm us in that point of the overwhelm. But that's not the whole story, because that is a kind of usually restricted kind of state. So I think if you start to expand out from that state through becoming informed by acting or whatever, or just simply by the development of a further awareness and compassion, it expands out.
Mm.
And then you sort of, the boundary of what feels possible can change. And this is the Buddhist path on a subjective level, but it's also, I think, on the objective level as well.
Yeah. It was making me think of how with ethics, we can feel guilty about actions when we haven't really nailed down what it is we think was unskillful. So then there's this just sort of general cloud of foggy feeling of bad. And then when you actually look, okay, which precept do I think, you know, I may have been unskillful in relation to, and then you actually get it down to, okay, so it was this particular thing that I regret doing, and then you have, okay, it's this thing, it's not this generalised. And I think the climate change obviously is a classic where people do get overwhelmed because it seems so vast, but it'll be a good thing, you know, it's a good thing to experiment with that. What's it actually like if I try and make it more specific and get, you know, more of a handle on it, or commit to specific actions?
Yeah.
What effect does that have on that feeling?
And just add on to that, just the effect that it has on other people.
Mm. Yes.
If you're coming from that place. So it's a bit like, you know, that can then become a chain reaction.
Yes, very, very much. Mm. Yeah.
That's also the connectiveness between action and consciousness. For some people, sometimes seeing something, some action that is actually doable might shift their perspective.
You see something happening.
Mm.
You see something changing that seems like it's inevitable.
Experiencing it live, it's not an idea. So you see somebody doing something that perhaps, you know, you thought was impossible or opened your eyes.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a sort of faith aspect there. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I just sort of ask a sort of question? Is there, with these three things, it's like, is there like a sort of ultimate goal that if you get everybody's consciousness changed and everybody's like all thinking off the same hymn sheet, to quote a cliche, that, well, if everybody's there, then well, you won't need holding actions because everybody will be doing the right things. That's
well,
you,
the way
you won't need to change things because people have thought things out. Is that part of it, or
Not in Joanna Macy's kind of schema? I mean, she's talking about the need for a shift towards a sustainable world. She doesn't really speculate about how far that could go or what, you know, some kind of ideal scenario. I mean, I guess from a Buddhist perspective, conditioned existence, there's going to be suffering. There is suffering. It's built into this reality. So there's never going to be any shortage of that, unfortunately. But it is, and it is possible. Who knows what's possible? Amazing things have, you know, things do transform, shift radically. Yeah, can't know, really.
I think it's about, well, it's like an aspiration.
Yeah.
So said in the Bodhisattva idea, and then the Bodhisattva has the aspiration to help or save or whatever. I'm not sure that word "save," but you know, to help all living beings. But obviously, in another way, realizes that's impossible.
Yeah.
But the aspiration is like an ongoing part of his experience. You know, it's not separate. In the Bodhisattva's case, I think the idea is that's not separate. So you would never come to the end of that task. You'd sort of never want to come to the end of that task as well.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I realised I wanted to try and work in something about a project that I'm involved with, because it seemed like a good opportunity. So I'm just going to briefly mention this. It's a new livelihood that a few of us are setting up called Tara Sanctuary and Natural Burial Ground. Because I think it is, though, a good example of that what we're doing is in the realm of shift of consciousness, as well as in the realm of sort of alternatives. So we want to create this natural burial ground, which will become a nature reserve, and it will also be a camping retreat site. And it will be an ethical business based on the precepts. And it will provide affordable eco burials. And at the same time, be part of a bigger shift that's going on in society around death, so trying to come into a less sort of alienated, horrified anxiety relationship to death and dying. There's a bigger movement there, the natural death movement, that we're sort of aligning with, and which fits so well with Buddhist practice, which is, you know, got this whole thread around impermanence and this whole tradition of reflecting on death. And yeah, the shift to allow that sort of allowing death, the reality of that, to closer, traditionally, again, is a reflection to help us wake up to the preciousness of human life, this precious opportunity to practice. So, yeah, so trying to do quite a number of things, and the sort of alternatives and the shift in consciousness sort of closely connected in. Yeah. So I wanted to say a little bit, just thinking about, so we should have just a short break, just a pee break. Maybe keep that as a little a silent break, just a few minutes. Then we'll come back and I'm going to say a bit more about actions, how we can take on actions in a Bodhisattva-like sustainable way.